of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, be aligned with your love, O God, our strength, our courage, and our freedom. Amen. Good morning, St. Mark's. It is so very good to see all of you all. You are my newest, very best friends. And I knew I was going to have a ball being here because I've had a ball in the past when I've been here. I have personal friendships with your current dean and two of your former deans. And I adore Steve and Kathy Thomason, and I adore your bishop, Greg Rickle, and his wife, Marty. And I just knew that I would adore y'all. So here we go. Thanks for having me. It's been wonderful. I learned early in my priesthood that in order for you to be with me, I had to be with you. And so a part of my being with you right now is to tell you that I have a kind of a strange brain that gets music in it, and it just kind of worms down in and stays and comes out from time to time. And while I've been, it's better for me to be here. While I've been preparing this sermon, because of all the references to name changing in it, for Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, we know that Peter had his name changed from Simon to the Rock Peter, and that Paul, who wrote the second lesson, had his name changed from Saul to Paul. And I just couldn't get out of my mind the great spiritual I told Jesus it would be all right if he changed my name. It's worth going and Googling that and hearing it on YouTube this afternoon. I commend it to you because Saint Nina Simone has a great rendition, as does Saint Roberta Flack. Miss Roberta says, I told Jesus it'd be all right if he changed my name. And the way it always goes, no matter whether Mahalia is singing it or somebody else, then Jesus comes and says, well, you know, think twice about this. Because in the Roberta Flack version, she says that Jesus then said, your daddy won't understand you if I change your name. And your mama won't understand who you are if I change your name. And your friends may turn their backs on you if I change your name. And then the way the song is structured, no matter who sings it, what version, then the person comes back and says, yet I told Jesus it'd be all right if you changed my name. Sister Simone, Nina Simone says, Jesus told me I'd go hungry if he changed my name. But I told Jesus it'd be all right if he changed my name. So I just had to confess that, and now I'll preach my sermon. It's a lot to learn in life when you move. My wife and I, a year and a half ago, moved from Pasadena, California to Birmingham, Alabama. I had retired after 21 years of serving All Saints Church in Pasadena and then wanted to move to Birmingham. We did, to be near our grandchildren. We had driven cross-country when we had moved to Pasadena in 1995 from Jackson, Mississippi, and we thought that was such an act of sanity because you're mind and your body and your soul wind up at the same time as opposed to flying. And we wanted to drive back cross country in 2016. So we did. what we had not given away and sold. We got movers to put in a huge van. We saved the fragile stuff, including our three precious cats, Ashok, Pebbles, and Sabrina, and put them and us in Hope, my wife's precious, beloved 19-year-old white Jeep. And here we go. But it wasn't that simple, because Sabrina, the girl cat, hid from us, and we couldn't find her. And so we just had the boy cats. And we needed to be out of the house, so we got a hotel for a couple of extra nights so we could go back and try to find Sabrina. And finally, with tears flowing down our cheeks, we realized that we had to get on the road because June 1 was the date that we had to be in Birmingham to receive the movers, or else there would be stiff penalties. We went 30 miles down the freeway and had something to eat. And I looked at Hope. She looked at me and I said, "We want to go back one more time, don't we?" So we drove back, try to find Sabrina. We had, in the course of those 2 days, even gotten a man to come with his ladder way up and to thread a water hose down the chimney to try to flush Sabrina out with the turned on water. So we cried our way across country. We were late. We wanted to see the Grand Canyon, didn't realize how far off the beaten track that was, but we did it anyway. We're talking to Hope's brother. He's rather realist. He said, "You're going to have to fly Hope home because you'll never make it by June 1. So we crossed the Continental Divide on Memorial Day, and there was a check engine light that came on her Jeep. And there in front of us, like a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, leading the lost Hebrew children, an exit ramp that led in Albuquerque, New Mexico, directly to a Firestone store that had in front of it a sign that said, "We check engine lights for free." Drove in, young man, so nice, came to Hope and me in our two cats in the carrier in his lobby, and it said, "This car will never make it cross country. What do you suggest we do? Give it away and rent a van." So we had a little come to Jesus meeting, decided, we called Delta Airlines, got her a flight for 6 a.m. the next morning, went to a hotel, crashed, got up early, put her on the plane at 6. The boy cats and I left the boys there in the hotel. I went and donated the car, the beloved 19-year-old white Jeep, got all the contents of it into a little van that I rented. Took all day, went back to the hotel room, crashed. My first life was as a Southern Baptist in South Georgia. I've already revealed this to you, I love hymns and I love music. And I knew that I could be consoled if I could play some Baptist hymns. I opened my laptop and I played two or three, and then one played and I started crying. I pressed the replay button 30 times, an hour and plus minutes of deep abdominal crying over the loss, over the end of that life of running institutions. And the name of the hymn was "Great is Thy Faithfulness," which sings, "Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hands have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." It's taken from the Book of Lamentations in the Hebrew Scriptures. It is what Abram felt from God that God was a God of mercy and that God was always going to take care of him and Sarai, no matter what they did. And Abram had the epiphany that is expressed in today's collect for the second Sunday in Lent in every Episcopal church. Oh God, your property is always to have mercy. And what St. Paul writes about in Romans, God is not a God of the law. God is a God of grace. I mean, you could translate that. Pardon me for teaching for just a second. I'll close the parenthesis on that. But every time law appears in Romans, you could substitute this phrase, your need to prove yourself worthy of God's favor. That's what the law was about. And everywhere it says faith, you can translate embracing the great is thy faithfulness aspect of God, or entrusting your life to God's faithfulness to you, or God's unmerited favor for you. Abram decided to embrace and entrust his life and his family's life to the God who is always about grace and is never about law, is never about trying to get people to prove themselves. And it absolutely delighted God. And God said, that is what it's all about. That is an emblem of the kind of relationship I want to have with everybody I've ever created. I want them to entrust themselves to my mercy and not fool themselves that I'm trying to get them to deserve my affection. And so he changed his name and changed Sarai's name to Sarah. Doggone it, I know that y'all haven't been with me in this preaching part until I go back and tell you about Sabrina, right? You want to know about that cat, right, that we left in Pasadena? So we have a friend named Christian Foster, and Christian is so devoted to us and to our cats that every afternoon after she got off work, she had a key to the rectory, and she would let herself back in, and she would take a can of cat food and a bottle of Chardonnay, and she would sit and sip and put that can of cat food out. And on the third or the fourth day, Sabrina appeared, and she put Sabrina in a cat carrier, and then they got on the plane and came to Birmingham. And so we have a reunion with Sabrina. Okay, I've satisfied that. Can I go on with my sermon now? My friends, please become atheists about the God of rewards and punishments, about the God of law, about the God that some religions have told you need to use to prove yourself worthy of God's love. Jesus' first Lent of being alone, fasting in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights was about Jesus coming to terms with the fact that Satan is not a human being, but Satan is an energy, and Satan is the energy of fear. And Satan is always going to say, if you are so-and-so, then do so-and-so. That's legalism. Prove yourself by jumping off the temple or the tower, or turning these stones into bread, or whatever fear has got you doing. Jesus said, no. No, thank you. God is a God of love. And God changed Jesus' name to the Anointed One, the Christ, the Messiah. God loves you not because of what you've done or have sworn off doing. God loves you because you are you. and you are who God made you. Lady Gaga sings, I was born this way. And it is that person that God adores, loves, and even likes. And every morning is giving you and me new mercies. The slate is clean every second with God. God has given us mercy, not judgment, not condemnation, not rewards, not punishments. God's property is always to have mercy no matter what you've done. Great is thy faithfulness. God's property is always to have mercy. God is a God of love, forgiveness, and a million new chances, not a God of punishments, rewards, and withholding affection if you don't do the right thing. That is the essence of understanding the Abraham and Sarah story. God didn't bless them because they had done right. God blessed them, period. They entrusted their lives to the power of love and grace and mercy. They believed that God wanted to build a relationship on the firm foundation, not of their ability to be notably obedient, but on God's nature to always have mercy. So then, Jesus has this intimate time with his disciples, and he said, who do you say I am, and who do they say I am? And they said, you're the Messiah. And Jesus said, okay, let me tell you what this is about. If you let God change your name, and I have, Jesus says, then you will suffer, be persecuted, be killed, and you'll rise again. And Peter said, oh, stop it, Jesus. He rebuked Jesus. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, fear. Get thee behind me, temptation, to prove that I'm worthy. You were thinking the way fear thinks, not the way love thinks. And then he said, if anyone would follow me, let them deny their fear-safe self. Deny their fear-based self. Their fear-based ways. Their fear-based salvation projects, which we somehow concoct, thinking it has something to do with God's love. No. Let them deny themselves and take up their cross. Let them look around at what is crucifying them and what is crucifying other brothers and sisters and siblings in the human family, and dismantle those things that are crucifying you and others, and follow me in my way of love, nonviolence, forgiveness, compassion. This Lent is about your denying your fear-based self, taking up whatever crosses are crucifying you and other people and dismantling them, and following Jesus into nonviolence, forgiveness, compassion, and oneness for everybody. This Lent began on Ash Wednesday, on Valentine's Day, with a Valentine's Day massacre of kids in a school with unregulated guns. We are drowning in guns in this country, promoted by the NRA, which is a part of the fear industrial complex of the world, which is making gazillions of dollars, making everybody afraid, and Donald Trump, who said what we need to do is arm the teachers, because the NRA mantra is, nothing stops a bad person with a gun like a good person with a gun. So everybody arm themselves. Interestingly enough, Donald Trump and the NRA are not for arming the people who are in Congress or who are working in the White House or who are at Mar-a-Lago. But by George, they want to arm the teachers. And you know who the teachers will shoot first, the people who scare them, people of color, because we have this white supremacy in our life. So, final story. Soon after we moved to Birmingham, Alabama, the following thing happened on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida, oftentimes called Redneck Riviera. And this couple, young couple, walking down the beach, Derek and Jessica Simmons, and they first saw beachgoers pausing to stare toward the water, and the young couple just assumed that somebody had spotted a shark. But what happened and what was going on was that six members of a single family, four adults, including a grandmother and two young boys, and four other swimmers had been swept away by powerful and deceptive rip currents churning below the water's surface. And Jessica said, "These people aren't drowning today. It's not happening. We're going to get them out." Now, I'm setting Jessica up as a Christ figure here, of somebody who had taken up her cross, and she saw that some people were being crucified by some rip currents. And Jessica started shouting, "Form a human chain! Form a human chain! Form a human chain!" And within just seconds, 88 people had formed a chain from solid terra firma all the way out into the rip current to the 10 people or 8 people, not a mathematician, who were drowning, including grandmother, 67 years old, who had already said her prayers, and she said she was ready to go. And Jessica and Derek climbed body to body to body to body to Golgotha and sent those live but threatened and almost crucified people back to terra firma. My brothers and sisters, please, I want to invite you right now to give your heart and your life to God. The God who is love, not the God who is fear. Be an atheist about that God and all that ideology. Because this Lent, Jesus wants to change our names. Let's say to Jesus, "It's all right if you change my name." Oh, people may not understand you anymore. "That's all right, Jesus, change my name." So Jesus says, "No longer will your name be fear - prove yourself. Now your name will be love - form a human chain." Amen.